Welcome back to Wildcat Insider. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. Brandon Tabman is with us as well. Charles Jones, Jeff Mitty in hour two of Wildcat Insider. We'll hear from Deontay Burton in just a second. K-State loses 23-9. They have the week off before playing Baylor a week from Thursday. And Baylor's going to be without their quarterback, Seth Russell. He is gone for the season. That was the big news today. He had a broken bone in his neck, suffered at the end of that Iowa State game. We'll talk more about that here before the end of the hour, including an amazing statistic about how lucky Baylor has been injury-wise at their quarterback position over the last couple years. But getting back into K-State's 23-9 loss, I do want to focus on the defense a little bit here. And playing Texas's offense is K-State, I guess I would put it this way, especially with all the injuries in the secondary, you would take playing a team that wants to come out and run the ball 10 times out of 10 over what you see most of the time in the Big 12 with the Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Baylor, TCUs of the world that want to throw it all over the place. So that combined with the fact that it was a really wet game, wet conditions, I think really helped out K-State's defense. That plays into the Cats' hands. They're pretty good at stopping the run. But they did make some really good adjustments. Texas was having no problem running the football, really, in the first half. And all the players were saying after the game it was about the run fits, right, just changing the way they were executing. But whatever they did, it sure worked. I mean, in the second half, Texas was, let's see, they only had to pass it 16 times in the game total. They had 274 rushing yards in the game, which sounds like a lot, but only 86 of that was in the second half. So 188 in the first half and 86 in the second half.
That's a major change. And I think what you're talking about, too, and it needs to be talked about here, in that in this particular situation where you've had all of these injuries in the secondary, you'd probably prefer to play a Texas team like we're describing here, and yet still couldn't get it done. That's another part of that frustration. But think about it from this perspective, and I think everybody listening probably understands this, but I think it's worth saying because there's no Dante Barnett. There's no Danzel McDaniel. There's no Caleb Pruitt. You know, you had two guys in that secondary making their first career starts on Saturday, right? Kendall Adams, Sean Newland. And I thought both of those guys, especially Sean, played, you know, pretty well. So maybe K-State caught a little bit of a break there. Certainly with the next couple of opponents, you know, I believe it's paramount that you get maybe one or two of those. Nate Jackson's the other guy. I forgot
Nate Jackson.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you're looking at playing a Big 12 team on the road at their place with basically four starters out. That's crazy.
Morgan Burns is the only guy in the secondary that had any kind of experience really coming into this year.
Right.
Playing. I mean, that's really the easiest way to put it.
Well, and Barnett.
That are out there on the field against Texas. I mean, Morgan Burns is the only guy that was playing on Saturday against Texas that came into this season with really any sort of legitimate experience.
Right. And I thought Duke Shelley, for a third straight start, continued to show why the coaches really liked him and why he was in that running as a 2/3 there right at the end of camp. I mean, he was really pushing. I think it was probably a difficult call as to whether – you know, you redshirt him or not. They made the decision to redshirt him, and then unfortunately because of injuries, they had to call on him. And I think he's done a really good job. Kendall made some mistakes, as Coach Snyder talked about, but he also, you know, did some pretty good things. And as we mentioned with Sean, you know, he had 14 tackles against Oklahoma and came back with, I think, five or six more Saturday. So they're fighting, but man, it seems like an uphill battle. Maybe not as much with Texas, but it, you know, with Baylor coming and Tech on the road in Lubbock after that, well, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Well, the way that Duke Shelley's playing, and I'm not dissecting the film. I don't see what the coaches are seeing necessarily with all the film.
Sure.
So I probably can't totally speak to it, but the way he's playing, it makes you wonder what would have happened if he had been out there the entire year.
Well, maybe, yeah. Well, and I think what you're like me, you're not seeing those coaches' tapes and you don't know all the technical things that they know, and yet you do kind of see what you see in that he's been pretty much straight up solid, right? I mean, he's made plays.
And just so much,
hasn't
so athletic.
Beat. Yeah, he's athletic. He can run. In what has turned out to be, to this particular point, a pretty frustrating stretch and a frustrating year, he's been one of the bright spots, without question.
He was one of the bright spots. I think other guys were bright spots in the game. I mean, Travis Britz had a really nice game, which
he did.
he continues to do that, and especially against a team that runs the ball, I think you expect Travis Britz to play pretty well. And on the offensive side of the ball, obviously Charles Jones is number one, and you're going to hear from him at 5'10 in hour two. He has a career-high 122 yards on the ground. But also, it wasn't a huge day numbers-wise for Deontay Burton, but for as much as he struggled with drops throughout this season, he actually had three big catches and some really difficult catches. I mean, the degree of difficulty on those catches, especially in the rain, it really was impressive and makes you hope and feel like he's taking a step forward with the effort he put out there.
We were talking about that going into the break, and during the commercial, you and I are talking about it, and that hope is exactly what it is in that you're right. You described it well. He has had, going into the Texas game, some ups and downs. Very, well, I won't say very, but inconsistent, okay? Inconsistent. But you're right. What he did Saturday is certainly not eye-popping numbers with five catches for 39 yards. But the degree of difficulty, I would like to think maybe we'll say to him, hey, I can do this. And maybe he will take a step forward because they need him to. He's got enough ability to help him, I think, more than he's helped him to this point.
Well, and I apologize. I shorted him on a couple catches there. Yeah, it was 5 for 39, and that's half the completions that Joe Huebner had the entire game as he went 10 for 22. Here is a little bit from Deontay Burton after the game, who's typically a pretty good quote and a good barometer of where the team's at. Yeah. So a lot of people were going to him asking about how the team is doing at this point after losing four straight. I started just by asking him about the offense and how much frustration there might be with the way that the offense has struggled to score points.
I think frustration comes from, you know, losing games. But I think as a team, you know, we've struggled in general, offense, defense. But like I said, frustration comes from just losing games and not things not going your way.
What do you think are some correctable things you guys could do, or what's maybe gone wrong on offense for you?
I think it's just a lot of little things. You know, we can't penalize. We can't beat ourselves. We got to catch all the balls. We got to throw them all right. You know, you got to do the little things to be successful in a power conference like we're in. So that's all I could probably think of. It's just little things, attention to detail, and executing with emotion can really get things done for us.
You think mentality-wise, this team's still in an okay spot after losing four straight?
I think so. I think we'll find out who we are and what we're capable of now that we've been punched in the mouth a couple times. You got a decision to make if you're going to lay down, get walked over the rest of the season, or you're going to fight back. And I think that's the mental state we got to have because, you know, you got to go into every game with nothing to lose. You know, so I think that's where we need to be as a team, you know, ready to fight and give it all, because there's really not a tomorrow for us right now.
He's definitely right with what he's saying there. And I would say, I mean, just the hesitation at the beginning of the answer, I got to feel like there's a part of those guys that want to just come out and say, I mean, yeah, this is very rough. This is really tough. But for the time being, they are still continuing to say what you'd really expect them to say about trying to fight back and bounce back.
Well, it's a good point because it's obvious that there is frustration with what's going on. I mean, he covered a lot there in a very short period of time. And I really like the answer about, you know, at the beginning there, kind of what's going on in that Coach Snyder has even talked about this. They have shown at times that they can do this and they can be a good offensive team, move the ball, have balance, but they have just had a dickens of a time of doing it on a consistent basis. And, you know, where maybe I think or tick a little bit different than some, but I go back to, let's go back to halftime at TCU. Since that time, this team has really, frankly, struggled offensively. I'm not sure I have a handle on what's so different.